That was amazing. Maybe we should just keep doing instrumentation and singing all morning. This is great. What a fantastic morning. As Barb Anderson mentioned earlier, and can we tell the Lord thank you for Barb too? Isn't that great? Yeah. Just that whole set of workers down there that work with our children and stuff, they're just absolutely phenomenal. Before I launch into the message this morning, I just want to reiterate some of the things that Josh said. We have a great privilege in many ways and opportunity to have Andy Phillips and his wife come. How many people here personally know a major league person that they would call their friend? Yeah, there's not one hand. This is kind of a rarity. If I wanted to call Ben Utek, have you ever heard of Ben Utek? Right, Ben Utek had won a Super Bowl ring with the Colts back when Peyton Manning was there. Minnesota boy, standout at University of Minnesota, right? If I wanted to have him come in for a day, it would cost as much as Andy and Bethany are going to cost us for a week. That's incredible, and he lives across town. You know, so they're really doing a huge thing to minister to us and to be here. I was very fortunate. Andy was one of my boys in my youth group when he was in Alabama, and so we're excited to have him here. He has been the straight shooter his whole life, loves God. He's able to really present it well, and Bethany is just a top-notch music artist. And if you want to look them up on YouTube, you can hear it. But we've got cool things going on. They're going to arrive on Friday the 8th of September, go to Camp Lebanon for Father-Daughter Weekend. They're going to come here on Saturday night, and we're going to crank the volume up, and we're going to have a lot of fun at a youth rally at 6 o'clock. All right? And we're making it really affordable so everybody can come to that. We'll have tickets in the foyer afterwards. Then on Sunday, they're going to come and take worship for us. That's going to be a great time. Now, one of the reasons they can actually come is because we have several men from our church that have sponsored this event and are helping underwrite the costs here. So we're going to have a little sponsor meeting just for those folks that day. But when they come back on Monday, they're going to get together with the Classics and the Crossroads group. Now, if you want to sign up for that, you can do that in the hallway too. That's going to be Monday evening at 5:30 and just have a supper and just a time to really minister to you. And I just want to say thank you to all the people that are in those groups. They're a little older than some of us in age, but they do so much to underwrite and have been such great testimonies and witnesses to us in the ministry of the church. This is great. And then on Tuesday, moms, dads, middle-aged folks, Don, that would include us, kind of. All right, but yeah, come on back. And they're going to talk about being fearless in your life. Bethany has a Bible study out, so we're going to do that. And Wednesday is our fall kickoff. That's a free event. We'll take a love offering there if you want to participate in that. But that's free, and we want everybody here. Let's just load this place up. So that's going to be really cool. Speaking of experience and fall kickoff, the 20th is Awana, and Paul Larson needs a couple to run the store. Now, we have this incredible store downstairs. It's called A-Mart. And Steve and Kay Lehman have run that for the past several years, and are not going to be doing that this fall. And we just thank them for their ministry there. But if you would jump on board with that, that'd be great. If someone can take that over, and there's a sheet, you can sign up in the foyer for that too. So, changing gears on you a little bit. Is anybody familiar with Getting Back to the Future? Yeah. Okay, we talked. There you go. I see that hand. Good job, Nige. Good job. Hey, good job on the football field too, buddy. All right, but we're going to look back to the future. We're going back to the future. This was a really fun movie series that came out many years ago now when I was younger, and I think I still had a comb back then, but it was a lot of fun. But there's a great message here. Here's this young man on this journey to save his family. This is really a cool little movie in a lot of ways, but I am so excited about going back to the future, and we've talked in the past couple weeks when I was up about Genesis 1 through 3. And there's a few things I want just to kind of recount and recapture for us. So I've got a top 10 list for things that we maybe learned from the book of Genesis. So number one, God is triune, and he testifies of himself through his creation every day, right? He created a trinity of trinities, right? He created in Genesis chapter 1, time, space, and matter. Time, past, present, future, right? Space, length, width, and height gives us dimension, and matter, solid, liquid, and gas. Pretty cool, right? Then he also created three different spheres of interaction that we have with the animal kingdom, right? We got birds in the air, creatures that walk the earth, and others that swim in the seas, in the fresh waters. So just kind of cool. God just is constantly putting himself out there for us every day. So that's one of the things we talked about. The second thing is this, and we're going to deviate just a little bit from the focus on the Lord to maybe some more practical stuff. Number 9, Eve discovered that the fastest way to bypass Adam's logical thinking processes was his stomach. Okay? Number seven. Eight? I've lost my count already. Number eight. I'll stay right here by my notes. Number eight, don't get too big for your britches. All right? Number seven, stranger danger applies to adults too. Right? We saw this great lie from Lucifer, and he was getting after it, wasn't he? He came into the garden, and he did a few different things. Right? So when he's approaching you, and you can use Satan, the devil, Lucifer, it's all the same guy. All those names are suitable. But he did a few different things. He came up, and he challenged God's word, and he challenged Eve's understanding of God's word. Right? Now, also in that, he took that beyond there, and he said, hey, I'm going to mix in just a little bit of subtle lie with this truth that these kids have heard and see if I can sway them. And then he completely took them off base, and he restated his purpose in the temptation for them to walk away from listening to God, right? And anytime he does that, it's going to sound good, but let you know right now, it's not God's will that he's talking about, and it's not yours. It's his, and for his benefit and his glorification, his end of his goals, okay? Number six, ladies, do not fall for the good-looking, smooth-talking bad boy. How do you deal with that guy? Simply tell him, hey, I don't know you from Adam, and walk. You just get out of here, all right? We're just going to leave that guy in the dust. We're not going to hang out with him, all right? Number five, guys, be protective of your wife. It says in the story there, as it's recounting that episode for us, that history for us, that Adam was right there. He was nearby, right? He was nearby. All he had to do was go, hey, Eve, hold on a second. We got to talk to God about this, right? No. Number four, no can be the positive life-giving answer. No can be the positive life-giving answer. Number three, studying your Bible, knowing God's word, will make you smart. Make you smart, right? A spirit-taught messenger articulating real truth. Are there many people out there trying to propagate their own truths? Yeah, it's just rampant, isn't it? And it hasn't changed since the beginning then, obviously, right? Number two, spend time with God every day. Spend time with God every day. It said every day God came and met Adam and Eve. And they sat down and they spent time together. They had conversation together. And they lived together as a family, right? And they had this holy communion that was unfettered. There was no restrictions, right? Remember at that time before Adam and Eve decided to think for themselves, all right, and get away from God's thinking, they were naked and they didn't even know it, right? So this unbelievable intimacy in that relationship, which is pure, and God wants to have that kind of relationship with us again. And the number one is this. The number one thing we learned is God loves life. He loves life. And we can see that in this passage of Scripture. If you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 with me this morning, there's a big passage here. We're going to highlight a few things from a few verses. But I just want to talk, we'll start with this. I'm going to start in verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's where we're going to start. And then I'm going to run down and go to verse 31. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. That's a direct restatement of Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Many things happened when Adam and Eve sinned. They got a new address. They were no longer in the garden. They got kicked out into the wilderness. They had, another thing too. The innocent blood of animals was shed, and God made skins to clothe them because the leaves that they'd covered themselves with weren't going to be a protection enough. But that was the beginning, wasn't it? The innocent of shed blood to reconcile them to their father. That's what it was. That was the penalty for their sin. Right? So things had changed for them, but I'll tell you what, the whole point was God wanted to bring them back into that relationship with him because he loves life. See, being separate from God is actually death. So you can be here right now above room temperature, taking nourishment, and be dead. Because spiritually, you are not connected with your Heavenly Father. He has not heard you ask for his salvation through Jesus Christ, for him to forgive you for your sins that you need to have in order to have that union and be with him here today and in the future. After that, as these two come together And they move ahead outside the garden. Now, what is what is, right? Life's no longer perfect, right? But they're safe, right? They've been saved. There's some things that God still wanted them to do because he's restated here in Ephesians for us, right? That this is an ongoing thing. This is not something that he demolished, that he set, changed, or anything like that. This was still a purpose for that holy union between the husband and wife. And number one is to promote one another's individual growth in relationship. In verse 22, it says this, "Wives, submit your husbands as to the Lord." Is submit a really nice word in our modern society? Do people like hearing that? They don't. But there's a couple different reasons to submit, right? At least a couple. One is someone's earned your respect. And another one, they have an office that's been given to them. All right? And wives, your husband has an office that's been given to him as your husband, right? He's supposed to be the leader of your family. And guys, are you doing it? Is your wife enjoying the opportunities of life to grow closer to her Savior and Lord because of you? Are you living something out for her and then providing opportunity for her to be involved in this? All right, so we've got this whole opportunity to promote individually, you know. Wives, are you submitting to your husband and saying, hey, you know what, even when things go wrong, they don't go as we had planned, he's still the man, right? He's still the man. I'm backing him. He doesn't have to be perfect. Things don't have to be perfect. I'm still faithful to him. And that's really what this comes down to. This relationship is trust and fidelity, right? It's a thing that we do when we're married. When we stand in front of everybody in the congregation, we say, hey, listen, I'm going to do this for all of my days, right? All of my days, right? And then also, why do we do that? What's the whole purpose of this? The purpose of this is really straightforward and simple. We're promoting a picture of the Savior, Jesus Christ, who comes and saves us out of our dark, evil, black sinfulness and washes us and makes us holy, right? That's the great thing about it. You know, that's the other thing that's really fun, too, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Two verses, right? Two different sections here in 1 John 5, 11 and 12, right? And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. He that has the Son of God has life, and he that does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's the number one issue you need to clean up with in your life. You need to know Jesus as your Savior. The number two thing is this. 1 John, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know you guys are going to find this hard to believe, but there are times I'm actually angry with Jill. Now, I'm smart enough to take a breather, go walk in the bathroom, look in the mirror and go, not attractive, look at my wife and go, very attractive, I need to make this right, like ASAP, right? Right? Guys, you can laugh, but we all know we're on the same page, right? But folks, this is the thing. In life, stuff goes wrong. That first passage guarantees our salvation and our future destination. The second one is the way that we come back through Christ to constantly renew and refresh our relationships and the commitments that we've made and to get past the junk that's happened in life. Okay? Jill is very fortunate. Her dad is a successful businessman. Many of you know him. All right, but I'll tell you, folks, when this economic crash happened to us back in 2008, 2009, it personally wiped Jill and I out. Now, it would have been very convenient for her to look at me and said, hey, you big loser. I've never known life like this. And you need to get your act together and walk. And you know what? There are some ladies that did that. And there were some men that did that to their spouses. But not my Jilly, right? And I didn't walk on her. She said, Grant, what's the plan? I said, I don't know. I don't know what the plan is. I don't know how to fix this. This is beyond us, honey. This is beyond us. But I do know this. We will never, never turn our back on the Most High God who will take care of us. Amen? That's exactly what we did. And we got closer to that whole thing than we'd ever been before. All right? And it catapulted us forward personally, individually, and as a couple. Folks, that's what I'm talking about. Life is full of junk disaster, stuff that we create for ourselves, stuff that comes at us beyond our own control, and the answer is still the same. You've left your mom and dad to cleave to this person that you have in your life. And no matter what happens, you can count on that relationship to come back to. Why? Because it's a picture of Jesus Christ redeeming his church. All right, second thing I want to talk about a little bit is this, the holy plan. So that's our kind of our purpose. We're going to promote, all right? The second thing is the holy plan. Another thing that our society doesn't like to talk about today is authority. Authority. When God made everything, it also came with this understanding. He gets to tell us how it works. He gets to tell us how it runs, right? That takes a lot of pressure off us, doesn't it? All we have to do is look at his contract with us, look at his explanation of everything, and go, okay, if I simply follow along on these things, I'm good. We're golden. We can make it. I want to look at just a few things here that as a kid, you probably, you know, were introduced to, right? And some things that still transform your lives today, okay? Number one, all right, it says in Proverbs 11, 24, and 25, talks a little bit about sharing and giving. Give freely to become wealthier. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Right? We may throw up a little cliche, right? And it says, right, it's better to give than to receive. Kind of a downgrading of that actual understanding of that whole thing there. But we learned that, didn't we, as kids? That's straight from God's word. That's a good thing to learn as a kid, and it's something that's really important. How does life work if you don't know how to share? Right? You're not going to have a lot of friends. It's going to get ugly pretty quick. All right? And I'm not just talking about your possessions or your bank account. I'm talking about yourself personally. Are you willing to invest? Are you willing to go out and share and spend your time with people? Right? Are you willing to meet them and go the extra mile? I had something happen to me. I was heading out of the office here on Friday evening and came over, you know, the road construction takes you to the detour on the frontage road here by Highway 55. As he came around the corner, there was a guy parked. He had his vehicle had a flat tire in it, and there was a young lady beside him. And she had a smaller car there. And so I got up and I said, "Are you guys okay?" And he goes, "Not really. The lug wrench for this vehicle doesn't fit the tire." So I said, "Well, let me check and see if I've got the same size." His was a Chevy and Escalade, and mine was, you know, it was a Ford truck, so it didn't fit. So I said, "Hey, I'll run to the store and get a lug wrench so we can get this thing off here and you guys can put your spare tire on." And he says, "Are you really going to come back?" Isn't that a sad statement? Isn't that a sad statement? And I told him, I said, "Hey, I'll come back. You know, your daughter needs to help here. You need help here. I'm coming back." I said, "If I ever saw a girl on the side of the road that needed help, I'm going to stop 100% of the time, right? Because I would never want someone to leave my wife or daughter stranded if they needed help, right? Now, for you young guys, you know how to fix your own tire. If you don't, you better learn quick, because I'm not stopping for you. You're on your own, big guy, right? And why did you run out of gas anyway? Come on, we're men. Check the gauges, right? So, but here's the thing, though, is that he was worried that I wasn't going to live up to my word. Would he have died if I didn't show up? No. He didn't live that far away. He could have walked home eventually. But that's what the world is, folks. People can't trust. This is really basic stuff. But you know what? I shared a little bit of my time with this guy, right? Went to the store, picked up the lug wrench. He offered to pay me for it. I said, "No, you just keep that." We put his jack under the car. It was too light, right? This is what they do now with these new cars. It bent his jack. We threw my jack under his car. It bent my jack. He goes, "What are we going to do?" He said, "Well, I got a jacket on." We go get his jacket at the house, right? He lives over off Lowry. We come back to get the thing jacked up, got the tire on. And on the way back, we're talking. His name is Luis. Moved here from Ecuador many years ago, right? His has a wife and three children. They have a cleaning business. His girl had to leave to go get that job done and move on to the next one, and that's why he was counting on me coming back, right? They go to a little Catholic church not too far from their house, and he looked at me, and he said the most amazing thing. He goes, "God must have sent you to me." I said, "Yeah, he did." That's all it is, folks. That's all it is. God just sends us to people. Are you going to do something about it or not? Right? I don't know if he's ever going to come. Do you think I invite him to come to our fall kickoff events? Yeah. Yeah, sure did, right? Yeah. So hopefully he comes. If he doesn't, no big deal. My job was just simply to invite him and take care of that. All right? So when I got home, and I told Jill why I was late. I called her. And she goes, I want to thank you for being that guy. See, that's God speaking to me. Right? I'm just some bald, overly well-fed, middle-aged guy. Right? And my wife thinks I'm a big deal. That's awesome. Right? And guys, isn't that the truth? Women, I want you to know this. The thing that will light a man up is when his wife looks at him like he's a big deal. And you know what, guys? The thing that will light your wife up is if you'll go change the flat tires, but you know what? You come home and do the dishes, and you scrub the floor, right? And you're not afraid of the laundry. I'm on mouse patrol right now. We got mice everywhere, so I'm like doing the mice thing. I'm getting like merit badges every day. It's a rock and roll situation for me. But you know, you know what I mean? But it's all about us being able to live in relationship. And the only reason I have this with Jill is because of Jesus. I'm not that smart. I'd screw this thing up. We'd probably be separate right now on to relationship number three or whatever. You know what I mean? The only reason I've got this, even in my imperfection, and I got another confession. We went out last night and had a little supper together, and then we came back. We're going to watch a movie. So I thought, hey, I'm going to pick something Jill likes, right? And so I'm flicking through Netflix. Our kids got us Netflix for Christmas. Thank you, kids. But so I'm flipping through Netflix. I'm going, ooh, good guy, bad guy. Ooh, good guy beats bad guy. Ooh, bad guy dies in cruel, unusual ways. Good guy wins. Well, like I'm seeing all these great movies, right? And I'm clicking through, and then I see one, and it's like, Heaven is Waiting. I go, oh, it's like a Hallmark movie. I bet she'll like this. So I turn it on, and we start watching the movie about 30 minutes. And I said, what do you think? She goes, that's okay. And I'm going, oh, man, I screwed this up, too. I can't even believe it, you know? But we sat and watched the movie. It was a lot of fun. But, you know, it's just thinking about someone else. So this idea that you learn when you're a kid about sharing, it's paramount to being a successful adult. Right? Paramount to being a successful adult. Second thing. Personal hygiene. In Luke chapter 17, verse 12. Oh, hey, we're going after this morning, folks. In Luke 17, verse 12, it says this. And he, that's Jesus, was going into a village. 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance. For us, men, this is how our wife sees us on Saturday morning after you're doing the honeydew list, right? You're that guy that just, I remember walking in the house, I go, hey, give me a hug. She goes, not until you have a shower, right? Okay, but I'm telling you. Clean up your act. Clean up your act. I hope you guys don't have secrets from one another. Right? If Jill wants into my life in any way, shape, or form, whether it's electronically or any other way, she has complete access to it. There's no hiding. If I want to check her stuff out, there's no hiding. You know, the thing is, we don't really check each other's stuff out. Because there's trust. Right? There's trust. That's all. That's all we're working on here. It's not that hard, but it's impossible without the Lord. Why? Because we are self-centered, we are selfish by our very nature, and not just a little bit, 100%. So if you live beyond that, and that's why the world sometimes thinks we're schizophrenic, right? Because they see a Christian who they know claims to be a Christian, and then they do something that's wrong. Guys, educate them. We're not perfect, we're just forgiven. We're not going to do the right thing all the time, but we're moving in that direction, okay? But be real with your neighbors. Let them see the dirty side. You know, don't be afraid if they walk in and you smell bad, right? Okay? You do the same things that they do on a day-to-day basis. Number 9, offering prayers to the Lord for your food. How many people here pray in public when they have their supper and they're out? I'd encourage you to do it, okay? Matthew 14, 19, ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he looked heavenward. He blessed the food, then he broke it and gave it to the disciples and to the crowd. People will come. I guarantee you this. People will come and talk to you about you saying a prayer. Pastor Brad and I, we were on the road down to Chicago to the pastor's conference a year ago. And as we stopped at McDonald's, I think it was, just to grab a McChicken or whatever, breakfast thing or something like that, right? So we stopped and we sat down and we prayed out loud. Brad prayed for us. And two ladies came over to us and said, "That was amazing." She said, "We don't see men do that anymore. That was really neat to see men do that. But, you know, we don't even really see families do that anymore." Huh? Simple things that are testimonies. Guys, we get a chance to promote the Lord every day. Luke 14:28, planning and money management. Planning and money management. "For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it?" Right? Money management. Is Dave Ramsey fired up about money? Right? Well, it's not really money. It's about setting people free from money, right? We all need money, right? But he's setting us free from money. If you haven't taken this, take this. You know, Donnie is taking his whole guy's class. He's encouraging him to go do financial peace. If you haven't done that, load that class up. Larry and Beth, they can go on and on and on and on about stories of freedom from the chains and the bondage of money that people have experienced through that ministry here. So be on point with that, all right? Make sure you take advantage of that. And make sure you teach your kids. Does anybody have a plan? I had a plan. Steve Lehman gave me my plan. He said, "Grant," he goes, "this is what we do for Ursula. We have three little piggy banks for her, right? We have savings, we have our offering, tithe, and then we have our money that we can use, right?" So you learn the priorities. Hey, everything you get, first part of that's the Lord's. Then you got to save some money for yourself, and then you get to do some other things, right? Okay, so just the basic things for kids. Number 13, respect civil authority. Do we need to hear this morning? Isn't it just disgusting what's going on in the news? Absolutely revolting. Folks, we are not political around here. This is not the place for politics behind a pulpit. No political party, I don't care what you think or believe, is going to solve our problems. Our problems are not physical. Our problems are not, well, they are mental, but our problems are spiritual primarily, right? They're spiritual. "So let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by him." God's got a bigger plan than yours, whether you agree or don't agree at what's going on at the time. He's got control of it. You do your best as a citizen. Folks, we are constantly trying to broaden out our footprint here in Golden Valley on a personal level, individually, home by home, but also within the government here, the people that oversee things and are connected. So we want to make sure we take care of that. Hebrews 10:25, attending church. "Do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching." It's really easy in this society of plenty. It's like a cornucopia, right? You know, we have people that, quote unquote, need assistance or need help, and they live a pretty good lifestyle. Their kids go to summer camps. You know what I mean? They have the latest shoes. You know what I mean? There's lots of people out there helping, okay? But we need to be focused and make sure that we are constantly coming here to meet. The society back then in Ephesus was brutal. The Greeks were like crazy, right? They had they were worshiping Diana in the temple right next door. They had the silversmiths that were trying to throw Paul in jail. Why? Because he was cutting into their money. Right? All kinds of things when people come to Jesus. It just upsets the whole apple cart, right? And we want to do that, right? We want to do that. But the only way you can do that is to not be an island. None of us is an island. We were never created to be an island. We're created to be in relationship, all right? First of all, with your spouse, if you're married, all right? And those who aren't, look forward to that. It's awesome. It's a lot of work. It's worth it. You're going to find out some things about yourself you don't know or don't understand. And you know what? If you're not married and that's okay with you, that's okay. One is a whole number, right? One's a whole number, okay? So I just want to hit that real quick. The next thing is serving God. "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ." God wants you to model his truth. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you just look at it and go, "Hey, Gray, you just pointed out a few things, right? It's been a big morning already. God's really blessed me, and I guess I got something to say. I'm not measuring up to this picture." Good. I'm glad God's talking to you, and I'm glad you're listening. If you're in that situation, don't go home without telling somebody else. I want you to look at this, okay? If you think about this as being like the biggest, most awesome emergency room in a hospital you've ever seen, you're in the right place. This is exactly what this is. See, all week long, everybody else is sitting in here. This world came to take a chunk out of them. Their personal situation, their own minds, got in their own way and tripped themselves up and skinned their knees and scuffed their elbows and the palms of their hands. We have all been through this. And we come here as a group to encourage one another, not judge one another, and to hear from God's word and line our lives up with God's word. And if that's something you need to do this morning, don't leave without talking to somebody. Okay, we're all in the same boat. Every single one of us is here in the same boat. You know, I had someone many years ago say, well, I'd like to be like this Christian or that Christian. I hold them up. I think they're awesome. You know, and I said, well, do you know how they got to be like that? One day at a time. That's it. It's so simplistic, right? And unchanging. That allows us to be unwavering because God has set it up that way. The world is constantly knowing, right? The Bible says, hey, the world is ever knowing and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. It doesn't make fun of the world knowing stuff. Science is awesome, right? Language is awesome. You know, politics is awesome. Lawyers, some of them are awesome. You know, we need smart people to do things. We need, you know, good contracts. You know, we need all this stuff. But the point is this. Everything the world is discovering, God made. And he says, this is how it works. Do this, be successful. Do this, have joy. Do this, be able to live a life of trust and fidelity. Don't do this. Right? I mean, you know, I spent a little too many years talking to young people, I think, didn't I? Right? But this is his plan, okay? The divine purpose is to live in a relationship with him. The divine purpose is to bring other people into relationship with him, starting with your house. Next week, we're going to talk about, and then there was three, right? Those little bundle of joys that are completely dead at birth. Isn't that crazy? You think about this. They are born with that sin nature, right? And about 2-3 years old, you really kind of go, yeah, that's true, right? But I'll tell you what, this is the thing. We have this opportunity to come before the Lord and be blameless. If you look at verse 26 through 28, here's how it happens. Okay. Husbands, I'll start at 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And just one more thing, too. When Paul's writing here and he addresses the ladies, there's like a couple verses of instruction. Yeah, then there's a whole bunch for the guys, okay? So guys, this is really coming at us, although the ladies are included in this, okay? Gave himself up for her to make her holy. Okay, you know, when the Bible repeats something, it's important, right? Cleansing her by the washing with water through the word and to present her to himself as a radiant church, right? Pastor Brad just did a wedding yesterday. It went famously. The groom and the bride were radiant, right? They had their very best on. They looked their very best. They smelled their, everything was perfect, right? We see that. It's a constant reminder to us every time we get to do a wedding or be in part of a wedding. A radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy, there it is again, right? And blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. Holy. If you look in the modern dictionary, it does not do that word justice. Holy is you being set aside and separate in this relationship, this union that you have only through Jesus Christ. That's holy. Because then you can be counted as blameless even though you know better. Isn't that an amazing thing? God will forgive our sins and not bring those up. That account's been dealt with. Because just like in Genesis, when Adam and Eve were clothed with the skins of innocent animals that shed their blood, Jesus did the same, and we are clothed with God's righteousness, and that's the way he sees us. Awesome. Awesome. We have a great second hour here this morning. I'm just thankful for everybody that's here. I'm just excited that we have so many cool things going on. Am I the only one here? Or do you just kind of sometimes go home or at the end of the day and you sit and you kind of go, the Lord is just like going crazy at Oak Grove Church. He is blessing. There are so many good things going on. Folks, this whole two becoming one flesh. Yeah, we need more nursery workers. There's another round coming. I'm telling you, we're just filling this thing up. So I just want to show you one picture, though. Just show you one. I want to show you one picture. I was thinking, okay, who could I set out here as being the perfect couple, right? So Craig, could you put that up Zach, could you put that up for me? Okay, so here's an example of the perfect couple. Do you know where this picture was taken? Hawaii, right? They're in paradise, right? Isn't that the dream trip we always want to take, right? Everybody wants to go to paradise. We're going to go to Hawaii. It's going to be awesome, all right? Well, Abe and Christine were there, and, you know, they love the Lord individually. They love the Lord together. They're doing a great job in lots of ministries here. But I just threw their picture up there, and I asked them permission to do this. I wouldn't do it without that. And Abe said, you can make fun of me if you want. I said, no, I wouldn't do that because Christine's in the picture too. But here's the thing. I want you to think about that and put your picture there. Guys, if you're fortunate enough to have a wife, you're a perfect couple. Act like it. Right? Ladies, if you're fortunate enough to have a good man, even when things don't go right, he falls short, give him a little pat and say, you go, big boy, and keep him fired up. Right? Okay, so let's just do that for one another. Next week, we're going to bring kids into the equation. It's going to change the whole tenor of everything. Well, maybe not, but it's going to be fun, okay? So let's just close in a word of prayer, and we'll get ready for second hour. Father, you're just so good to us. Thank you, Lord, that we can just come and speak in freedom. Father, not recklessly or carelessly, but, Lord, with things from your word, with truth about being holy and separated unto you as a focus in our lives. Father, that allows us to live lives obediently, right, with trust and fidelity involved in that. Father, thank you for forgiving us our past sins. Lord, and being willing to forgive us the ones we haven't even committed yet that you know are coming. And Lord, you're just so good to us. And Father, we just want to continue to focus on you. So Lord, we just love you. And we do say Abba, Father, as well as holy and righteous and incredible Creator God. And we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.